Being God's person. Anybody need a handout in the group? There's a couple in the back. Maybe we can take several down the row there. Boy, there's a lot of hands up there. Okay, let me just start off and just say this. When I get up in the morning, I sit on the side of the bed or I'm laying in the bed, I will often say to myself, if I don't get anything else done today, I want to. Now, if you were doing that, just think about tomorrow morning. When you first open your eyes, what are you going to ask God to accomplish in that day, in your life? You understand that every time we wake up, it is a gift from God. And we ought to be just saying, all right, Lord. What's your answer to that? I think a few of you know what my answer is. My answer is I want to end the day closer to my Lord than I've ever been before. And that doesn't mean it has to be a Sunday. It doesn't have to be a big event day. I just want to end closer to the Lord. Personally, I have found that I sense His presence more powerfully in the difficult days. You know, when you get up and you have all of these plans, and it seems by 9 o'clock, you know the day is not going to go anywhere like what you thought. It is just going to be overwhelmed by this situation that's come face to face with. Even when that happens, and it can be really downer stuff, people you love that have made horrible decisions, you're saying, Lord, why? Why didn't they do this or that instead? You can still end the day closer to Him. 5 practices to adopt if you want to be God's person. Now, these aren't original with me. They actually came. I don't think I shared this with you before. I hope not. If I did, I'm trying to debate. I've shared them a lot in my personal discipleship with different individuals, and I didn't have it marked down that I had. So have I? Tell me I have it. Okay, good. I see.
We got such sharp
memories. All right. We'll just go forward. Okay, but at any rate, I didn't have it marked down that I'd ever shared this. But this actually came from Doug Wild. Doug and I text each other quite frequently, actually. It's words of encouragement and just accountability and that type of thing. And he said, I read this, and it really was a blessing to me, and he sent it to me. And then I had the opportunity to kind of rework it a little bit into my own words. But it wasn't original with me. He never told me what the author is. He was here this last weekend, came to see Brendan and meet Jimmy, right? That was the basic direction coming down here. But then I read him how I reworded it, and he says, will you give that to me? So I emailed it back to him now, the same thing that he had originally sent to me. But kind of funny how it goes around. But it's a tremendous encouragement to me. I have used it several times in my hospital visits. Okay, 5 practices to adopt if you want to be God's person. When you read this verse, I'm going to read a couple verses. They're marked in your handout, I trust, if I did it right. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 21 says, He is your praise. He is your God who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. I look at my experiences today, and I recognize the hand of God in such a powerful way that it just stuns me. After I had one meeting, I had to send with one individual, I had to send him a text afterwards and thank him for the privilege. I mean, it was such a blessing. Aren't those wonderful experiences? Isaiah 25:1. O Lord, you are my God. Can you say that tonight? Can you say that tonight, that God is really yours? You are connected to Him? That's so critical. It has nothing to do with where we were born or any other stuff. It's whether we have come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And it is all that matters, to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. your counsel of old and your faithfulness and truth. Hebrews 13:5 and 13:15 and 16. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. In happy moments, praise God. Now, it seems odd that we would have to be reminded of this, but it's tragic. When things are going good, often God isn't in our thought process. We're just enjoying the moment. But I'm saying to all of us, if we really want to be the person, you know, what are we called? We are called human beings. We are not called human doings. It isn't about doing things. It's about being the person that God wants us to be. And one of the ways is to remember that he's our God and to praise him. In happy moments, praise God. Can you remember that? Can you say that with me? In happy moments, praise God. The next one, Jeremiah 50, verse 4. In those days and in that time, says the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, with continual weeping they shall come and seek the Lord their God. Talking about a difficult... You understand, Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. Okay, he was never warmly received. Being a testimony for God was really tough, because it seemed like everybody was going the other direction. And in some respects, we can relate to that today. There's a lot of pushback to be a Christian today and to stand right for God. But we need to stand with him. One of my own personal favorite verses is this one, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What does that say to us? It reminds us, even when it doesn't look like God's anywhere in the picture, ever had any of those times? Why has this happened to me? Where are you, God? We have a responsibility to discipline our mind and to remember that God is a loving God who promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And he wants us to demonstrate, practice faith, and to diligently seek him. In difficult moments, seek God. In happy moments, praise God. But in difficult moments, seek him. It really says a lot. Just as the uptime tells us that we aren't so arrogant to forget about God. But when it really gets down, sadly enough, many, many people even get to the point of getting angry with God. We're not talking about that type of seeking. We're talking about seeking him because we know who he is and what a great God he is. Third, in Psalms 99:5, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. 99:9 says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Notice what it's saying. Exalt the Lord, and then it says, worship at his footstool. In other words, come to him on a personal basis. Here it literally is implying, and worship at his holy hill. To me, it implies, this is in the Old Testament times, that are coming to Jerusalem, coming to the temple. In our analogous, you could say it'd be like coming here tonight to worship God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. We're not going to worship anything else. We're not going to worship money. We're not going to worship government. We're not going to, we are going to worship our God. And John chapter 4, verse 24 reminds us God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There's a responsibility every one of us that claims to be a Christian to put some energy into this, know the truth, and then to discipline our heart to be focused on our God. In quiet moments, worship God. That's why I'm so thankful for some modern technology we have today. I cannot tell you how much more sweet time I have in the Word now that I have an iPhone. Isn't that a funny thing to say? But I'm able to lay in bed, and I don't feel guilty about disturbing my wife. I can just lay in bed, and I grab my phone, and I'll start reading Scripture and praying. And it is such a blessing. Because it's a quiet time for me. It's a quiet moment. I mean, quiet in the sense of North Minneapolis. I mean, you have the occasional gunshot, and you have the people yelling outside and all this. But you know what? I'm still in my own bedroom, and it's a peaceful time for me, even with the chaos. In quiet moments, worship God. Isn't that a great reminder? But sometimes we just get frustrated with the quiet moments. We're bored, or we just don't know what to do. Why can't I get to sleep? I know I used to be bothered by that because, unfortunately, I'm kind of odd. Last night, I think I went to bed at 3 o'clock, and I got up at 7. And Pam used to always ask me, aren't you tired? And the answer is no. It's just the way God made me. But I'll tell you what, there were times when that used to really frustrate me. Because I just wanted to lay my head down. There's, you know, I just needed to just rest or just kind of quiet down, and I never would. Now I don't look at it that way. I thank God for the ability to pray and to read and to worship. Psalms 16:1, preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. You know, I'm telling you, verses like this you ought to mark in your Bible. Who knows what this coming year has? There have been some very conservative, actually, men that I have read because of my business background and finance background that have come out and said some startling things lately. One man last week said that in the next 180 days, within the next 180 days, our financial world as we know it will be changed permanently. Ironically, he didn't elaborate. He just made these statements. This guy that people have been following forever, and he just, no, you can't end like that. Tell us what you think. You know what it reminds me of? The truth is, we're not going to get the help from a bunch of people that are don't know the Lord and guidance on this stuff, but I'll tell you one thing it reminds me. To make sure I know where these verses are that are comforting and eternally truthful. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. Psalms 18:30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all those who trust in him. I think of the way Bev Larson has handled the loss of her husband. You know, a lot of people have said, well, I don't know if she's really dealing with it. You know, the truth is, here's her pastor's comment. I think she's dealing with it and dealing with it absolutely biblically. She's just trusting God that was the right thing at the right time for her husband to be absent from here and present with the Lord. And God knew, and God will sustain her. I mean, that's the type, you know how you get there? You don't get there by just showing up at that moment and then saying, okay, now I got to think through this and I'm going to respond biblically. You think through this before the event. And you commit yourself to say, you know what? I'm going to trust my God. No matter what happens, I'm going to trust my God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. 1 Timothy 4, 10. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach. Notice he's talking about the walk of a believer. Timothy was talking about his own walk here. He was talking about his walk and those that were following sincerely the Lord Jesus Christ. And how did he describe it? Did he describe it as a picnic? No, he says, for to this end we both labor, which is hard work, and suffer reproach, means they were getting a lot of pushback. They were getting a lot of people saying, you're foolish, you're wrong, and even to the point of beatings and mistreatment. But he goes on to say, because we trust in the living God, note, not worshiping an idol here, not something that's sitting on the wall. It's a God who is alive, is a spirit, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. I believe, and therefore he is my Savior. Can you say that tonight? Do you believe, and therefore he is your Savior? Talk about cutting through the mustard. That's what the coming year is all about. Jesus. In painful moments, in the suffering, in the difficult times, remember he is perfect. And this is not the main event. You know, I think back of the events of the last year. I think of Brother Jerry Heim's experiences and how, man, I was shocked that you made it to the morning. And here you are going to the doctor and having a clear bill of health. You hadn't heard that for a couple years. You know, you're better off now than you were before. It's amazing how God can work in our lives and just turn things around. But even in painful moments, trust God. I somehow or another put that in there twice. I had some other verses. One was Colossians. The fact is, I think I have it in the next one. No, I don't. Colossians 3:17 talks about whatsoever thing we do. You know, Colossians 3:17. Did I write the references on there? Did I make a mistake in your handout? Okay. What's that? Yes, I would like them. Ephesians 4:20. Another one would have been 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. You know, those praise verses are really critical. In every moment, we need to thank God. No matter what else is going on, thank God. What are we thanking God for? The fact that he is God and that we know him. That is more valuable than any circumstance or any possession. Even more valuable than any other horizontal relationship. In happy moments, praise God. In difficult moments, seek God. In quiet moments, worship God. In painful moments, trust God. In every moment, thank God. That's how we can be the person that God wants us to be. That's how we can experience the blessing of walking with the Lord.